This morning's scripture comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With chaos everywhere around us, unrest permeates our society. It seems as if people are losing their way. They're losing their minds, foundations are being destroyed, and the world seems to not have a clue of what's going on. However, there is a God in heaven that sits high and looks low. There's a God in heaven that beholds everything that goes on. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers, but the face is against those who do evil. When you think about Genesis 1, verse 1, and when we look at the first four words of the Holy Writ, in the beginning, God. There's so much to be gleaned from those four words. As a matter of fact, our entire lesson will come forth from those four words. Those four words that we see in the beginning are words that are full of strength, full of security, full of structure, and full of safety. These four words are steeped in eternity. In Psalm 90 and verse number 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. We understand, according to Isaiah 57, if you will, turn there, verse number 15, the messianic prophet has something very powerful to say. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 15, here the Bible says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one." Friends, these are not Isaiah's words. These are God's words. "Who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I put in my Bible a little footnote. God lives in eternity. He fills it up. When you think about eternity, think about the God of heaven. I want us to be considering these particular words in the beginning, God, to help us in our trust in God, to consider the very foundation of our faith, to help us as the people of God, as chaos and unrest looms around us, as we have our own personal thoughts and opinions, as we consider some of the things that is being said around us, with the falsehoods ever surrounding us, people telling lies, health officials smudging numbers, scare tactics and fear-mongering is at an all-time high. It's good to know that God will never lie to us. In Hebrews 6, verse 18 and 19, there the Bible says that God cannot lie. We understand that God is the very source of truth because he himself is truth, Exodus 34 and verse 6. He will never leave us nor forsake us, Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. In the beginning, God. When we consider God, God can be trusted. Solomon would tell his son Rehoboam in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding." Friends, it is the God of heaven who gives us all things to enjoy. He is the one to be respected and honored. Friends, during these particular times, the Church of Christ must stay focused upon God. If not, you will stop respecting God. You will stop honoring God. In Hebrews 12, verse number 21, the Hebrews writer quotes Moses. He says that I exceedingly fear and tremble. He's quoting Moses. I often consider the words of Moses and how Moses truly respected and honored God. How are we to respect and honor God today? In the beginning, God. God himself is to be respected. I remember Isaiah 66 and verse number 5, where Isaiah says that those tremble at the very word of God. Question, do you tremble at God's word? God is to be honored and adored. He is to be respected and praised. In the beginning, God. These words should cause us to stop and ask questions. These words should cause us to wait for the answer. And so why should we listen to God? We should listen to God because, number one, he is all-knowing. There is nothing that you or I know that God doesn't already know. God is all-knowing. In Psalm 147 and verse number 5, the Bible teaches us that God is infinite in his understanding. God knows all things. There is not one thing that goes on that God doesn't know. In Ezekiel 11 and verse number 5, there the Bible says, I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. The Bible literally says that. Friends, that is an enjoyable thought on one end and a horrific thought on another. And the reason why is because sometimes even things in our own minds don't line up with the word of God. Yet God knows everything that's in our minds even before it comes into our minds. No wonder Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 through 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God. Friends, we have to be a people who bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because in the beginning, God. These are great words. These words are to help us to understand that God is in total control. Even when it seems as if man is out of control, God is still in control. Trust him. Even creation is known by God. In Isaiah 40 and verse number 26, God knows every name of every star in the heavens. Friends, did you get that, brothers and sisters in Christ? We have names. We even name our pets. God has named the stars. Wow. If God has named the stars, and he has, we shouldn't worry about anything. He knows when a bird falls from the sky and drops to the ground dead. Matthew 10 and verse 29. He knows every hair that is on our hair, even in the follicles. Matthew 10 and verse number 30. God is a very detailed God. Let's trust him. We can trust God. He wants us to trust him. Why should we trust God? Because he's all powerful. What do we mean by this? Jeremiah, turn your Bibles there. In Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17. I've been pondering this. And as I've been pondering this, this is Jeremiah's prayer. The children of Israel, this is about 588 B.C., was going to be going into Babylonian captivity. God was making a promise to Jeremiah and the children of Israel that he was going to bring them out of Babylonian captivity. In his prayer here, Jeremiah says something very powerful. God was going to be doing something so powerful that he was going to have Jeremiah to buy a piece of ground, ensuring them, giving them evidence that he was going to be bringing them back for security and safety. God knows what he's doing. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17, in his prayer, he says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. Notice this. There is nothing too hard for you. You drop down to verse 27, and God acknowledges those words and says the same thing about himself. As a matter of fact, start at verse 26. There the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Friends, I need us to consider these words. Because when we look at the first four words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God," that ought to settle the matter for all atheists, all agnostic, all those who don't believe God. In the beginning, God continues to give evidence after evidence after evidence that he is, from the book of Genesis into the book of Revelation. God is God. What a powerful, powerful thought. He is the one that created the heavens and the earth by the word of his power. It is the creation that demonstrates the very power of God. Romans 1 and verse number 20. Colossians 1 and verse number 16. In Psalm 104 and verse number 24, notice what your Bible there says. In Psalm 104 and verse number 24, God is all powerful. Brother Mike, why do you keep saying that? Because in these particular times, not just in the United States of America, but I saw in Taiwan and in Hong Kong, there is just massive problems going on with humanity, period. People have lost their everlasting minds. It seems as if men are focused on the evil and not focused upon God, but not the Lord's people. They're focused upon God. In Psalm 104 and verse number 24, as we give more evidence to the God of heaven, notice what the Bible says. "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." Everything belongs to God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, here we see that God is all powerful. There's nothing that God doesn't know. There's nothing that God can't do. That means that whatever problem I have in my life, whatever I'm dealing with in my life, God can help me. Why? Because he's all powerful. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 11, notice what the Bible says. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." God is all powerful. Even the thunder exhibits the very power of God. Job 26:14. When we consider God's power, there is no one equal unto him. Isaiah 40 and verse number 25. Friends, we must trust Almighty God. In the beginning, God. You think about those powerful words. Sometimes when we're reading, at least me, myself, I just read past things. And then when someone says something, or when I read something, and I say to myself, "Brother Brian, well, how did I miss that? Why did I run past that?" Oh, please listen, friends. Listen, it doesn't matter what we're dealing with in our lives. God is powerful enough and he knows all things. Let me give you a passage before I go into this holistic, these passages of scripture. I'm about to give you about 30 passages of scripture that I believe will help us. Go back and listen to the recording and take those notes and study the word of God for yourself. But in Job 42 and verse number 2, let me show you something that I learned this week. In Job 42 and verse number 2, here we find something very powerful. In Job 42 and verse number 2, here we have God speaking. This is God. "Then Job answered the Lord," or Job speaking about God, "and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything," that's all power, "and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you," that's all knowledge. In one verse, Brother Brian, in one verse, brethren, we see that God is omnipotent and all powerful and all knowing. In one verse, Job recognizes that God can do anything. In the beginning, God. These questions ought to cause us to ask questions. should cause men to be shy of words, these four words. These four words in the beginning, God, should cause men to become perplexed and wonder. These four words in the beginning, God, should cause men to search and search for God, but only to realize he's invisible and he can only be found through his word. Job would say in Job 22 and 14 that he covers himself in the clouds. He hides himself in light. Some things that we see that we can prove with facts. We can go to the Bible and we can do a fact check with the Bible of everything that God has done. His resume, Brother Dennis, says something powerful about who he is. Oh, yes, we love to take the facts of the CDC, take the facts of some commentary, take the facts of the numbers, but let's take the facts from God. God himself has a resume that is pristine. God has a resume that can be trusted. God has a resume that cannot be matched. Friends, when you read the resume of God, you can't help but hire him. Some things we can prove through faith. And these are the facts given to us by God. He created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and verse 1. He transported Enoch from earth to paradise just by speaking it in Genesis 5 verse 24. He immersed the earth into a whole global flood, Genesis 6 through 8. But I like this one, Exodus 3 and verse number 2. He caused fire to become powerless in order for him to talk to Moses through a burning bush. We know what fire is doing right now in some of these protests, which makes no sense. Fire is taking away some of the businesses that people have worked real hard for. But during this particular time, God used fire to get the attention of Moses, and he talked to him through a burning bush and did not even consume the bush. That's the power of God. He led Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, Exodus 13. He parted the Red Sea for Israel to cross on dry ground, Exodus chapter 14. He wrapped Sinai with fire and smoke, Exodus 19 and verse number 18. And he gave the law to Moses and for Moses to speak to the children of Israel. Friends, God is powerful. We doubt God. We listen to man for so long. We listen to man all of the time that when we go to the word of God, we can't hear him. Trust God. In the beginning, God. God can do all things. God knows all things. God is everywhere. God is holy. God is just. God is pure. God is love. God is wrath. Friends, God is God. God has a resume. He caused water to come from a rock. Numbers chapter 20. To make sure that the children of Israel in the desert had something to drink. Yet, the children of Israel became very despondent. They became very unappreciative. And so as they were complaining against God and Moses, God had the fiery serpents to come and bite, yet he had an antidote. Friends, God is the one that heals. No wonder when you consider Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, it is the backdrop of John chapter 3, verses 14 through verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Friends, just as they looked at that serpent, that was that bronze serpent that was on the pole, men have to look to Jesus in order to be healed. That's the backdrop there. God's resume continues as he levels the walls of Jericho, Joshua 6. He causes the sun and the moon to stand still, Joshua chapter 10. He fed Elijah with the help of a raven, 1 Kings 17. He took Elijah home in a whirlwind. Friends, God is God. In the beginning, God. We need to be reminded of these things. As I was going through these things, my mind was being enveloped with more and more faith. It seems as if I was sweating on the inside because of all of the things that I was reading about what God did. And so when you begin to look on the outside of yourself, things are not really that big, because the God who created all things is greater and bigger and more grandeur than anything that we can ever experience. He made the head of an axe to float to the top of water, 2 Kings chapter 6. He allowed Ezekiel to see the glory of the Lord, chapter 1. He preserved three Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 27, in the midst of a fire. And you remember who was standing in there? One like the Son of Man. Friends, God is God. We must keep our eyes on God and trust him. He humbled Jonah and put him in a fish. He put seed into a womb that had never had a child within it by the person of Mary. Friends, there's nothing God can't do. If you will, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31, I believe it is. I hope that's it. Verse 22, remember the point we just made, friends, that God put seed into the womb of Mary. Only God can do something so powerful. And here Jeremiah has the privilege of penning it by inspiration long before it happened. 588 years before it happened, here we find Jeremiah saying, "How long will you gad about, O you backsliding daughter? For the Lord has created a new thing, Evelyn. The Lord has created a new thing. Where? In the earth. God, what are you going to do? A woman shall encompass a man. A woman should go around a man. God is not going to be using a man to bring in the Son of Man. God is not going to be using a man to bring in the Son of God. Why? Because in the beginning, God. We understand according to John chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. God couldn't use a human being to bring in the Son of God because the Son of God was before man. So we stop and we consider that, friends, that ought to give us more faith as we're talking to people, as we're living our lives, as we see all of the chaos and unrest around us. There's nothing too hard for God. Sometimes we limit ourselves because we trust ourselves. But cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. We trust God. God gave sight to the blind, Matthew chapter 9. He allowed the mute to speak and the deaf to hear. He multiplied bread and fish to feed multitudes. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He veiled and covered the sun for 3 hours when his son was on the cross, Matthew 27. Friends, did you hear that? God, who created all things, that when his son was on the cross dying for the sins of the world, the creation responded. The creation responded to the death of Christ. Friends, shouldn't we respond to the death of Christ? Shouldn't the sinner respond to the death of Christ? In the beginning, God. And we stop and we consider who God is, friends. He's all powerful. He raised Christ from the dead and gave him victory over death, hell, and the grave, Acts 2 and verse 24. It is because of that death, burial, and resurrection, when we imitate it, we die to sin. We're buried in Christ Jesus. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. Friends, God is God. He raised him from the dead. He gave the apostles power to perform miracles. He allowed Paul to be caught up into the third heavens. Friends, these are the facts. Go check them. A lot of times we're fact-checking, but we need to fact-check the Bible. And friends, every time you fact-check what God has done, you'll come to find out that God did that. And he can be trusted. Question, is God bigger and greater and more powerful than any virus? I say yes. Is he more powerful than any fear-monger? I say yes. Is he more powerful than any protesting? I say yes. Is he more powerful than any falsehood? I say yes. Is he more powerful than any problem I may have in my personal life? I say yes. Any opposition, any job loss, any confusion, friends, God is greater than that. I'm reminded of what he did through those two, Joshua and Caleb, as they came back with a good report. I come to find out and learn that those 10 that came back with the negative report, he slew them. He had to, because he caused the children of God to go astray. Joshua and Caleb, because they had a good and honest and perfect heart, had them to go into the promised land. You stop and we consider these words. God is God. He can handle anything. In the beginning, God. These words should cause us, should cause our minds to become stronger, firmer, and more relaxed in the faith. We should allow these four words to shelter our hearts, to shatter any petty and any power that seeks to paralyze us. These four words should develop our mental capacities and framework to trust God, to have more confidence in God, to have more joy in the Lord. In the beginning, God. Friends, we have to think right about God. And the more I thought about these things and these words, I said to myself, it's really not that hard. God says, I just need you to trust me. No wonder the words of Ephesians 6 verses 10 and following as relates to standing. Just stand where God tells you to stand, and that's all you got to do. Stand with him. He'll take care of us. We stand on the gospel truth of the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We stand there. We stand on how a man and a woman ought to be faithful to one another. We stand there. We stand on how we need to come together on the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and in truth as a collective body. We stand there. We stand on the new heavens and the new earth being that place where God dwells. We stand there. And anywhere else you stand is the wrong footing. We stand there. In the beginning, God. Too many preachers today are not preaching that. They're preaching more of a Jeroboam gospel. It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Here's a place of worship in Bethel and in Dan. No, we go to Jerusalem. And according to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, there were those who also went to Jerusalem and did the will of God. We stand there. We stand on the words that Brother Dennis just read in Romans chapter 13. You let the government do what the government's going to do. God will take care of them. And the reason why we say this, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God is still God. I told Brother Brian a couple weeks ago that I learned something about God, and I learned something about myself. Maybe you'll learn this lesson too. Anytime you get in God's way, you're going to get trampled upon. Stay out of God's way. Stay out of his way. Brother Brian brought out a great passage for me in the book of 1 Peter as it relates to the gospel being a stumbling stone, or what it can do, it'll crush you. Stay out of God's way. Stay behind God. Let him do the leading. And I guarantee you, God will lead you right where he is, and that is in glory. But I leave you with this point. In the beginning, God. God wants us to trust him. And we need to be praying to God. Are we praying for our nation? Are we praying for lost souls? Right now is the time for us to be petitioning God, to go to God in prayer. And I'm not talking about these rote prayers, R-O-T-E, not W-R-O-T-E. I'm talking about really supplicating to God for our nation, for all nations, for all peoples. Why? Because there's so much chaos and unrest, and if people would just understand that God is God, and we give them the evidence, look what God has done. I'm praying for you. I want you to think about Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want you to stand with the Lord and get out of these immoral lifestyles and come to Christ and be a Christian and be God's people, and then hear those words, well done. God is God. Unfortunately, many have made their God sports or other people. But friends, there's only one God. I heard something just yesterday. Sports is a means by bringing all peoples together. I thought that was Jesus's job. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I thought that was Jesus's job. I didn't know it was the NBA's job. I didn't know it was the NFL's job. I didn't know it was the NHL's job. I thought it was Jesus's job to bring all men unto him. We lost our way, but not the church, not the faithful. The faithful knows that if anybody is going to get this right, if anybody's going to be saved, if anybody is going to have the right mindset, if anybody is going to understand that in the beginning, God is going to be the people of God. I was reading a book by Frank Chesser, Thinking Right About God. And he was talking about the remnant. He went from Adam all the way to the church, and he was talking about the remnant. Talking about the remnant. Friends, do you want to be part of that remnant? It's the faithful few. It's the faithful few. Oh, friends, we can deem men faithful. We can say that we're faithful, but God is the only one that calls men faithful. The remnant. Are we the remnant? Right now is not, this is not the time for preaching that doesn't convict. Now is the time for preaching that convicts. Even if a person has to lose their job, even if a person has to lose things that are near and dear to their hearts, it's time for preaching that convicts. If not, why not? Friends, in the beginning, God. That settles it. Evelyn, that settles it. If you're not a child of God, we want you to. We're begging you. Here in 9th and Main, we focus on evangelism. But we also focus on retention. There's one thing to bring you to Christ. There's another thing to keep you in Christ. Don't get baptized and run away from here. You got to get baptized and stay in here. This is where the safety is. Just like in the days of Noah, when God saved the 8 by water and by the ark. They couldn't jump out and swim. They had to stay inside the ark. Once you get inside the church of Christ, stay in it. Stay inside. Why? Because this is where God is. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. This is where God is. This is where Christ is. This is where the people of God are. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the message that we have. We have the message that has been given not only to John the Baptist, not only to Jesus Christ, not only to the apostles, but to the church of Christ. Go out there and preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, repent. Turn away. If you're a child of God and you need to repent, repent. So believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll add you to his Son's church. He'll grant unto you all spiritual blessings which are in Christ. You'll be covered by the blood of Christ. You'll have the hope of eternal life awaiting. And you'll hear those words, well done. But maybe you're a child of God, and in the beginning, God has become a pastime. I understand that God said that in the beginning, but from everlasting to everlasting, God is God, and we will never outsmart him. We'll never outwit him. We'll never mock him. He'll always be God, and one day we'll live with him throughout eternity. Brother Brian, you ready? As we stand and as we sing, the Savior's invitation.